I would invite you to turn with me in your Bibles to Psalm 91. Join me in prayer. Father in heaven, as we just sang, that you would let yourself, your word and your spirit shine upon us. We would so look to you, to your self-revelation, to the scriptures. Lord, let our eyes not be dim, our understanding not be thick. Lord, our memories not be short. Lord, that these things might resonate and forever be etched upon our minds. We pray this, we ask this in Jesus' name. Psalm 91, the Word of God. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In Him I will trust. Surely He shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. He shall cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side, and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked. Because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place, no evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near you, your dwelling. For He shall give His angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You shall tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent you shall trample underfoot. Because He has set His love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Beloved congregation of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, last Sunday evening we began our study of Psalm 91 and concluded this morning by looking at the second half, the second part. The principal thought, if you will, is the psalmist assures believers of the certainty of God's protection, of His careful protection. As we look to the latter part of the psalm, I think we can change and even improve on that just a little bit. Where, as it concludes, as you notice those last three verses, God Himself assures believers of the certainty of His careful protection. In our family visits that we have been making, and which we hope to pick up shortly as a spiritual counsel, we have been reading 2 Peter chapter 1. It's an amazing chapter. In that chapter, it opens up by speaking that we have received a precious faith. Notice the word precious. Then a little bit later, it says that
we are the recipients of exceedingly great and precious promises. And I've read that maybe not 1,000 times. I've read and thought that a lot of times. And almost always I've thought of those exceedingly great and precious promises as speaking about the salvation that God has brought to our souls for all eternity. But as I've been studying Psalm 91, I've concluded that it's more than that. I mean, exceedingly great and precious promises includes the eternal welfare of our souls, I don't doubt. But if I'm reading this right, and I'm pretty sure that I am, Psalm 91 is pretty close to summarizing God's care, concern, protection, assurance, confidence that belongs to us as His people. As we look at Psalm 91, I thought for the sake of those that weren't here last Sunday evening, we'll just run over the points in the bulletin, 1, 2, and 3. We pretty well looked at points 1 and 2 last week, the words about the child of God. And for those, we just noted in the first couple of verses, the psalmist is identifying the main point, the big picture. What is the main point, the big picture? Well, look at verse 1. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. That is the safest, most secure place that anyone, anytime, anywhere could be. And it's a proximity. It's being near to God, close to Him. And if we rightly are understanding, like Matthew chapter 6, that's what God, Jesus says, right? When you give your gifts, when you do your alms, the God who sees in secret shall reward you. When you pray, pray to God who dwells in secret. And the God who dwells near to you will hear you and grant what you request. And then when you fast, don't fast to impress other people. Draw near to God. And God will be mindful, will be understanding of these things. And so the words in verse 2, it's the author of the psalm, right? I will say of the Lord, but I think if we're forgetting it, His faith is really to be our faith. And His words become our words. Can you say that? He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in whom I will trust. Well, from there, verses 3 through 8 are words spoken to us. Notice how it goes, surely He shall deliver you. Who's He talking to? Certainly the reader. The one who can say, I will hope, I will trust in the Lord. He will deliver you without a doubt. Surely. Like a verily, verily. Amen, amen. It shall be. He shall deliver you. He will help you in your moment of need. And so really the way we concluded last time is with that sermon title. Isn't this too good to be true? Isn't it too good to be true? That God, the Lord of heaven and earth, is going to watch out for us? Individually? Particularly? If it is true, and I believe it is, it sounds too good to be true. As a sermon title says, or is this what true faith looks like? And I think that's really the bottom line. This is what true faith looks like. This is what it means to believe in God. To believe in God doesn't mean that you believe there's a deity somewhere out there who made the world. It means that God is your God. He is personally invested in caring for you and protecting you your whole life long. And as we continue As we continue in these verses, it's exactly the point. And back to Matthew chapter 6. How does it conclude? He says, don't worry about your life. What you will eat or what you will drink or what you will put on. Why? Because God cares for you. Your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. And so our duty is to serve the Lord. The words Jesus uses says, seek ye first the kingdom of heaven, and all these things shall be added to you. Do not worry. Why? Because His grace is sufficient. Look at verse 10 as we begin, or verse 9. Because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place, no evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. For He shall give His angels charge over you, to keep you in all your ways. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against the stone. You shall tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent. You shall trample underfoot. I'm pretty sure last January when Heidi and Nick were heading off for that open heart surgery that we read Psalm 91. Do you remember that or not? Yeah, I thought it was too. And I said, you know what? We can't say absolutely what's going to happen in that surgery. But you know what we can do and we can be? We can be very confident. We can be optimistic that God is going to care for us. That God is going to supply what we need. And with that, as we live life, as we face the future, what do we do? Well, we're to look to the God who has extended His grace and His promises to us. For He, as verse 1 says, He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide, shall endure, shall continue under the shadow of the Almighty. Think of Psalm 121. The Lord is your keeper. He is your shade at your right hand. The sun shall not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. Why? Because He'll be with you. That not only then, for some, but for us, for those who would look and trust and rely upon the Lord. Interesting how verses 11 through 13 speak of the angels, isn't it? You know, and what do? We think, oh, one of them really are angels. Well, we shouldn't think that way. The point of faith and confidence is that we believe what is written. Notice that it's explanative and illustrative. Explanative, verse 11. For He shall give His angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. How does God care for His people? Well, He's delegated the care and protection of us to His heavenly host. Hebrews chapter 1 says that are not angels ministering spirits sent forth to minister to those who will receive inherit salvation? Indeed they are. Our hope and confidence is in God Almighty, in His grace, in His truth. And to what degree, to what extent will they care for us? Look at verse 12. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You shall tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent you shall trample underfoot. All of these things are just astounding. Profoundly encouraging, I trust, to us as God's people. But more than that, the way the psalm concludes, it's now not the psalmist speaking prophetic words to God's people. What is it? It's God Himself speaking His words to His people. Do you see that? It starts out in verse 1, third person. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Verse 2, first person, I believe, right? I will say, He is my refuge. Verses 3 down to 13, largely second person. They're regarding you, right? Second person, you singular, you plural. Surely He shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler, from the perilous path. He shall cover you with His feathers. Under His wings you shall take refuge. And so on and so on and so on. Astounding promises, right? Well, in verses 14, 15, and 16, even that makes what precedes fade by comparison. Because now God Himself speaks to His people. Listen, because He has set His love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him with long, or I think better translated, with full life. I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. God Himself becomes the speaker in verses 14, 15, and 16. In fact, this is what faith believes about itself. What do we believe about faith, about salvation? Well, certainly that Jesus is the only mediator that God sent to save His people from their sins. Question and answer 20 of the catechism then asks, well, are all men then saved by Christ as all perished through Adam? The answer comes back, no. But only those who by true faith are engrafted into Him and receive all His benefits. And then that question that I always tell the catechism, because you may as well learn this one good, because you're going to have to be able to recite this one before the spiritual council. What then is true faith? Well, true faith is that is not only a sure knowledge whereby I hold for truth all that God has revealed to us in His Word. It is that. There's no biblical faith without believing what God has revealed. Without believing that He has faithfully communicated Himself, His Word, and His will to His people. So, don't go any further thinking you're a Christian if you don't believe what God has written. It's just self-deception. Because why in our credo statements, if you don't believe in the Trinity, you can't be saved. Why? Because this is clear teaching based on the Word of God. If you don't believe that, you don't believe the Word of God. Therefore, you're not really a believer. You're outside of the Christian faith. Well, in this case, that's the start. It's not only that, but it is that, right? But then it comes that second part. But also a hearty trust, which the Holy Spirit works in me by the gospel, that not only to others, but to me also, forgiveness of sins, everlasting righteousness, and salvation are freely given by God, merely of grace, only for the sake of Christ's merits. It's recognizing that we stand individually in a radically different relationship to God than those of the world. That not only to others, but to me, God has revealed His grace. Or in the words of 2 Peter chapter 1, we have precious promises, precious faith, and exceedingly great and precious promises whereby God promises to be with us, to hold us fast, to never let us go. That work which He began in us, He says, I'll bring it to completion. He says that there's nothing in all creation, not height nor depth, things present, things to come. Not the devil himself can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord.
That's individual, personal faith, that we trust God not only with the eternal welfare of our souls, but for the eternal protection of our lives. That we will walk in the land of the living. That we will trust in His providential care. That He will be a God to us. Think Acts chapter 2. And to our children after us. Granted, they will have to hear, believe, and humble themselves before Him. Because we're not saved by virtue of our parents. John 1, 10 through 13 says, nor by the will of another, but we're born again only by the power of God. And that, of course, is the experience of grace in the hearts and the minds of men. Psalm 91, then, is a robust expression of what true faith believes. That God loves you. Think about that. God loves you. Not just you in general, but you in particular. And has and will provide for all that you need. And will continue to do so throughout your life. And forever into the future. That's what true faith believes. Do you believe that? Believe that. God says, because He has set His love upon me, I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him. I will satisfy him. I will honor him with long life. I will show him. I will show him my salvation. That's the life of faith. We look to God. We trust in His grace. We hope in His mercy. And as we look to Him, as we love Him and serve Him, He promises to supply. Well, does this reflect the faith that we see taught in Scripture? I would say absolutely. Think of Israel in the wilderness. What did God do? He fed them. He led them. He supplied for all their needs. As Exodus 19 says, He carries them on eagle's wings and brought them to Himself. Well, what about others? What about Joseph? He had a hard time of it. His brothers are going to kill him. Then they get a bright idea. Oh, we may as well get some money out of the deal and sell him. He becomes a slave in the land of Egypt. Only after decades, probably, of service, of solitary, thankless service in prison, he gets elevated and becomes second only to Pharaoh. Wow. Think of Elijah. Mighty prophet of God. The epitome of how God would reveal Himself and His power after Moses in the Old Testament. After Mount Carmel, he flees. He hides by a brook and he's fed by God, by ravens, right? Later he flees from there. The creek dries up. God says, go. And he goes to a widow in Zarephath. And God miraculously provides flour in the bin and oil in the jar to feed him and this woman. And the last time, not even that. No brook, no raven, no widow. God sends His holy angels and they feed Him with food from heaven. And that story, that truth is repeated over and over through Scripture. Think of Jesus' disciples after His resurrection. They're fishing all night. They catch none. He says, friends, throw your net on the other side of the boat. We've caught nothing, but because you say so, we will. And the catch of fish is greater than can be hauled in. Who is the God who can do this? But the God who has revealed Himself in His Word. And how might this care, this protection, be granted to us as His people? Well, we apprehend it by faith. We trust in Him. We pray to Him. The one who calls out, He hears. You need wisdom? You need help with life? Well, you better be asking God for help, or you're a fool. Right? If any of you lacks wisdom,
What do you got to do? Let him ask of God who gives to all abundantly without reproof. Ask for wisdom. And then, of course, there's more, isn't there? Because faith isn't just internal believing. It's not just word spoken, praying. It is also living, isn't it? Giving, serving, looking for opportunities that by which you can be of assistance to others. It's doing. Trusting is living and walking a life of prayer and service to the Lord. Our hope, beloved, is that God will now and forever be our hope, our comfort, our grand provider. Not a day will go by unwatched, unguarded by the Almighty. If trial and tragedy come, endure them with faith, looking to the Lord, knowing that He provides. He is the Lord and Master. You will be here until the day He calls you home. And that day that He calls you home, there's nothing you can do to stop it. So live by faith, confidently, believing in Him, trusting in Him, and He will provide all that you need. Amen. Father in heaven, we are grateful to You that we have such a mighty God who has extended to us such remarkable, exceedingly great and precious promises. Oh Lord, help us not just to hear about them, but to believe them, to trust in them, to look to You for all that we need now and all that we will ever need forever into the future. We ask and pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.